Okay, this coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Toldos, which of course will give us the opportunity to deal with Yitzchak and Rivka, and also to continue to learn about Yaakov and Esav. We're told that Rivka was pregnant by Yisroel Tzitzu Abanim Bikirba, that the children were struggling inside of her. And the Medrash notes that whenever Rivka passed the home of Avodah Zarah, Rashi tells us Esav tried to get out. Now, how is that possible if the Yetzer Hara only enters a person at birth? So the Maharal explains that there's a difference between a Yetzer Hara, which doesn't enter a person to mess him up, and the nature of a person, which is there no matter what Esav had that bad nature. It doesn't go in to get you tripped up. It's the way you are. So Rishat used to tell us this is why there's a halacha that Esav son of Yaakov. It's just the way it is. This is the way it's been set up because that's the way Esav carries himself. So halacha biyadua, Esav son of Yaakov, because it's part of Esav's nature to create that situation. Okay, then the Torah says she was so frustrated by it. Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem. She went to ask Hashem, and Rivka went to ask Shem. Why didn't she ask Yitzchak? He was the God of Lador. So Yisroel Reisman suggested that you don't need to tell someone something that's just going to cause him pain. Rav Reisman Shalita explained that Rivka thought there was something terribly wrong with her child, and so telling her husband would just cause him that unnecessary pain. Why would she go ahead and just do that to him? Anyway, what's a man of the field? Esav was a man of the field. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that a man of the field has no boundaries in his life, and he has no restraint. And this style of growth without any rules is problematic to us. We insist on having certain limitations in certain direction. Anyway, Yitzchak goes and settles in Gerar, and there's a whole episode that occurs with Abimelech. And then we read about the wells, all of the wells, v'chol ha'beiros asher chafru avdei aviv b'mei Avraham aviv, all the wells that were dug in the days of his father Avraham. So Rav Steinsaltz Hatzal explained that the difficulty with everyone who grew up in a religious home is the routine. Whoever gets to dig new wells lives in the world of awakening and of being uplifted. But for those like Yitzchak, it becomes difficult. The wells are already dug, so why dig it again? Beginnings are hard, but continuations are hard as well. And so hence, Avram creates Yitzchak, but Yitzchak has to create Avram also. Without Yitzchak, where would Avram be? Yitzchak's the one who gives the validity and perpetual existence to Avram, and that's really the role that Yitzchak plays as one of the Avos. Should be added, you know, along the way. We talked about this, not this past year, but 1 year ago before Ne'ilah, when we were talking about the purpose of the fact that, you know, as a second generation, we are Dati. That's not a bad thing. We don't only need to look for the ebbing the Shabbos away story. We need to feel good about ourselves, about the fact that we are upholding tradition. A role of Masorah is critical and important in our lives, and maybe something that we should be considering also. Sometimes just uncovering the wells that were dug before us is a greater purpose, perhaps. It promotes a certain sense of continuity in Yiddishkeit. After the story with the wells, we read about Esav and how Yitzchak was told what made the decision to give the brachos to Esav. Now, why does Yitzchak want to give the brachos to Esav? And why does Esav care so much when he loses them? So Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal explained that the Bechorah was a spiritual idea, but Esav wasn't such an overtly spiritual person. He preferred the here and now. Yitzchak wanted to bless him within the here and now. The Rei Reach Yitin Lecha Mital Shamayim Mishmanei Haaretz, to try to get him to build a bridge from the now into a future. Sometimes we get so stuck as people who just only care about the here and now that we forget to see something that comes, a kiyum that comes from one moment to the next. And it's a good thing for us to consider to perhaps go a little bit further. But Rivka overhears the story, and she thinks this is a bad plan. So she calls Yaakov over, and she says, Tabani Shema Bekoli. Now how could Rivka command Yaakov to lie? And how did Yaakov have the chutzpah to listen? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal explained that Yaakov was going to be tested in the very midah that he had in Emes. And just like his father was tested in his grandfather, Avraham Avinu, was tested in his chesed, Yaakov was going to be tested in the Emes. So to see how is he going to be able to handle himself even against his own ideal. The late great Chevron Rosh Shiva of Simcha Zissel Brody Zatzal added that Yaakov was told to act in accord with the words of the Nevi'ah. When a Nevi'ah tells you to do something, you're supposed to listen. And if that doesn't sound accurate to the Hamonam, that may be okay, because your job is to listen to the Nevi'ah. Finally, Rav Pinkus Atzal suggested that there are two types of truth. There's Emes V'Yatziv, there's Emes V'Emuna. Yaakov was working on Emes V'Emuna, and so far as Yaakov worked to see to it that Hashem would finish the job and that his words would be true. There is Emes V'Yatziv that's already there. That's what we think of when we talk about telling the truth. So that's what we need to, especially in dark times, sometimes what we need to really do is focus on the Emes V'Emuna, even though the Emes V'Yatziv seems sort of difficult for us to see in a moment. So Yaakov goes ahead and he plays the role and he gets the brachas and he leaves, and then Esav shows up. And the Yerushalmi in the Durim in Perek Ches Halacha Gimel tells us that in the future Esav's going to wrap himself up in a talus and he's going to try to sit with the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. And then he's going to go there and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to kick him out. But how is Esav going to get in undetected by the tzaddikim? What's the message over there? So Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita answered that just as Yaakov can dress up as Esav, Esav can try to dress up as Yaakov. But when Yaakov dresses as Esav, he doesn't become Esav. Esav, on the other hand, gets affected by the change on the outside. That's how he gets into Gan Eden. However, Hashem understands the inside of a person, and he's going to have to remove Esav in the future anyway. Finally, we're going to read in the Haftorah about Malachi, Masa Devar Hashem al Yisrael biad Malachi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a Masa. Vas meintas a Masa. Right? So Rav Shechter Shalita noted that Rashi explained that the opening of a Nevuah with the word Masa implies that this Nevuah that the Navi was holding on to for many, many days. And the reason Rav Shechter explained is that all of the Nevi'im get their Nevuahs going way, way, way back. Going back to the Nevuah from Har Sinai. And that's why the Ma'bid explains that it was possible for Moshe to use the pasuk Poseach es yadecha masbilach al chai ritzon when he was composing the first bracha benching, according to those who say kam or Poseach es yadecha, because those are the words were apparent to him at Har Sinai, and that's something he should be aware of. Okay, so with that, we have come to a certain understanding about where we stand and what we're doing, and we get it all from our Sedra. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the ability to learn the lessons of the Avos, especially at the times where we see Meratzitim and use it as a Simon Labanim. Shabbat Shalom to all.